Lord, thank you, mighty Savior, that you are here with us. We just ask that you open our eyes to see you. Lord, you can speak a word so powerfully that our lives are changed. And Lord, you can release ministries. You can release the call of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Who knows what you can do today? Lord, you can take one person and use that person to shake the world. So, Lord, we proclaim today is a day of miracles. Today is a day of your power. Today is a day of you to releasing open doors to shake the nations with the gospel. Lord, we pray that you will plant small seeds into our hearts, that these will grow into powerful ministries that bring millions of people into your kingdom. Lord, there's no limit to what you can do. So we just call upon your power. We call upon your name to be released upon our lives. Let the mighty hand of God be upon each person here. Lord, let them be touched. Let them be refreshed. Let them be revived. Let them be strengthened in their walk with you. Let them see your glory, Lord Jesus. So we pray that you will arise right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was thinking how Jesus Christ, he would go out, he would preach to the big multitudes, and then when he preached that big hard message, many of them turned away. And there was a time when he had sent out his 70 disciples, there was a time he sent out his 12 disciples, but really he had his special three, Peter, James, and John. And at times Jesus brought them alone up on the mountain, or into a room to do a miracle. And it was only to those three that they saw the greater works of God. And it was like Jesus Christ gave them special training. And it's like there's not many people here today, but Jesus Christ wants to give you special training. He wants you to be like Peter, James, and John, who come close to him, who come with him where he goes. Jesus said, "Where I am, there my servant will be also." So it's about following Jesus. This time is called Renew the Passion for Saving Souls. And that passion has to be renewed in our hearts. The passion of God for saving this nation. So that's why Jesus, he didn't give his special training to the great multitude. He gave his special training to those who really wanted to press into him. Those who hunger, that desire, Jesus, I want you to train me. I want to be a fisher of men. That's what Jesus said when he first called Peter. That's what he says when he first called you. I want to train you. So receive Jesus Christ here today with us to train you, to make you into like one of the 12 apostles, make you into one of his special servants. Believe for great things. Receive the fire of God into your heart. And we have to be radical for God. I just want to share some scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Jesus Christ was zealous for his Father's glory, for his Father's kingdom. One example is when Jesus went into the temple and saw it filled with, it was a mark turned into a marketplace. And because of the zeal of God that was burning inside of him, he had to do something about it. And he had to drive them out. It says, Romans 12, 11, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." There's many things that stop us from keeping a hold of that zeal for God. God gives us a vision of what he wants to do through us and in us. And we're going to face obstacles. Going to face things that stop us, and we can either give up or we can lay hold of this promise. I'm not going to let anything stop me having the zeal for God. So my vision is to see this place is going to be full. So you don't give up. You have the zeal of the Lord in your heart burning within you. There's a call of God to shake New Zealand. We've got to preach the gospel to all people. We've got to shake this nation. We've got to save this nation. I want to pick out a few things from the life of the Apostle Paul, because he had this zeal for God. And I'm picking it out from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul met with Christ and he came into what is the truth. He saw that Jesus is the risen Savior, that he's alive, that his religion was false, that he had been deceived, he had been fanatical for false religion. Now that he saw the truth, he was going to be radical for God. And that's what we need. We need to see the truth of Jesus Christ living with us, walking with us. He is with us right now. He said he's with us to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is with us here in this place. And Jesus is the mighty one. He's the mighty Savior. He's the powerful one. So we put our faith in him. Jesus, fill me with your power. I'm going to be a witness for you. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start from verse 16. It says, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. There was something compelling him. He talks about the love of God compelling him to preach. He also talks about the fear of God, seeing that God is the judge of mankind, that he had to persuade people. He had to debate with people. There's a wrong way to argue with people, but there's also a right way to argue with people. And it's to speak the word of God just with that zeal in your heart that Jesus, he's the Savior. Sometimes it's easier to share the gospel when people will argue with you than when they're just indifferent and they don't care, don't want to listen, don't talk to me about that. At least when a person is willing to say why they don't believe or something, you can have an interesting conversation with them. I suppose the Apostle Paul was that kind of person. He didn't want to give up. He had stubbornness as an unbeliever, and when he got saved, he had the godly stubbornness. He wasn't going to give up. If you needed an argument, he was going to bring forth a godly argument and persuasion. So I think he was radical. If he came to churches, he wouldn't just be quiet. He would say, if this is wrong in a church, it needs to change. We're going to be radical. I think sometimes we're kind of forced to be quiet. Even though we know that the church isn't doing all that God has called us to do, even though we know the church is lukewarm, backslidden, we're kind of, oh, we can't do anything about it. We have to be silent. But I think Paul was not silent. He said, I'm not going to look and see the Church of New Zealand be backslidden. I'm going to stir it up. We're going to get radical for God in this nation. Where are the people who want to learn how to witness for Christ? Where are the people who are going to say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. There was something compelling him to preach. Something, I can't be quiet. I can't sit still. Okay, nobody's going to invite me to come and speak at their church. That doesn't matter. I'm going to go out. I'm going to preach everywhere. So he had something burning in his heart, compelling him. It was a fire that he had to have. You know, I know that when God often calls young people, because he called me when I was 16, and when you're a 16-year-old, you don't get invitations to churches to preach. So what do you do? God's compelling you. That's why for many years I did the street evangelism and the nightclub evangelism. Because I couldn't just be a pew warmer, couldn't just sit in church waiting for the day when someone says, oh, I think we'll give you a chance now, Matthew. You've been sitting in church for the last 10 years patiently waiting. Now we'll let you preach. No, it's not like that. We can't sit and die. We've got to go out. We've got to preach. So Paul had this compelling, I've got to preach the gospel. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust that has been committed to me. He knew that God was trusting him. That when he preached, it wasn't doing it for money or doing it for fame or doing it because people were going to applaud him and will say, well done, that's a great sermon, brother. That was powerful. We really love your preaching. No, he wasn't doing it like that. He was doing it because he knew that he had to change lives. He had to get people radical for God. He had to get people on fire. Jesus Christ was willing to preach hard messages, even if people got up and walked away. That was the power of Jesus Christ preaching. If people would get up because they didn't like what Jesus was saying and walk away from him, he wouldn't compromise and say, oh, sorry. No, when there was a rich man, and that rich man didn't want to repent, and that rich man walked away a lost soul and probably went to hell forever, Jesus did not compromise his message for that rich man. He said, no, if you want to follow me, go sell your possessions, come follow me. And it's because Jesus Christ is worthy, he's exalted. And when he preached to the big crowds, if you want to be saved, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, oh, that's too hard to understand. What are you talking about, Jesus? And they all started walking away. Jesus didn't say, oh, okay, sorry, people, you didn't understand me properly. I'm going to give you a 10-point sermon now to explain it to you so that I know if you truly understood it properly, you wouldn't walk away from me. But what Jesus really knew was that those hearts of those people were not right. They just wanted to build a church without putting Jesus Christ first in their lives. So first of all, sometimes Jesus does have to get that whip out to cleanse the temple, chase the false followers away so I can begin with radical, powerful followers. Those who will love me with all their heart, love me with all their soul, mind, and strength, and they're going to love God. So Paul knew that when he was preaching, it wasn't because he was doing it because man wanted him to do it. No, he had been called by God. He knew that he had to speak because he was called by God. You know, the prophets in the Old Testament, when they spoke as radicals. They spoke against the flow of the nation. And you would think, well, Israel was doing quite good at different times in their walk with God. Look at them doing all their rituals in the temple. The priests were faithful doing their rituals so often throughout Israel's history. And the sacrifices were being made unto God. And many times God said, I don't care about these sacrifices. They're only doing it outwardly. Even though God commanded them to be done, even though they were fulfilling the law of God, God said, their hearts are far away from me, and they've got these other idols in their lives. So God was not pleased many times with Israel, and he sent these radical prophets to speak the truth to them and get them on fire to repent, get them back, get them radical for God. And these prophets went in to, we can apply it to us. Imagine if Jeremiah came to your church tomorrow morning. What kind of message would he come with? Or the prophet Ezekiel, if he came to your church tomorrow morning. Or the prophet Isaiah. Many of these prophets who heard from God, what would they truly come if they came to your church? Is it going to be another nice Sunday morning, just everything the same? Or is God going to really speak to people and shake their lives and awaken them? So this is the passion for preaching that Paul had. Verse 18. What then is my reward? Just this. That in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Earlier he had been talking about how preachers, well really God has commanded them to be earn their living from the gospel. He was saying that he's not going to make use of that because he knew that the people were not willing to support him. The people were not willing to give their money to the Apostle Paul. If Apostle Paul came to your church, most churches would not choose him to be a missionary. They would not choose him to be an evangelist. They would say, no, Apostle Paul, we don't want to support you. And that was the problem the Apostle Paul faced. So no wonder we have to face that issue also. So the Apostle Paul, he was not running after money. So he didn't care if the church wasn't going to support him. He was still going to do it because he knew that God had called him. He had to do it. And then from verse 19, we see his lifestyle, how he was going to live to win souls. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. That was Paul's attitude. How am I going to win the world? I'm going to have to make myself a slave to people in order to win them. There's a famous story of how these missionaries went off and actually sold themselves into slavery. They said, because the Lamb of God is worthy of the sacrifice that he's made, they were willing to fully sacrifice their lives and make themselves slaves of God for the salvation of someone else. From verse 20, he says, to the Jews I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I become one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but are under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So here we see Paul looking at different people's lives, and he was thinking, how am I going to win those people? When I was doing my first book on the end times in America, where I was, there was lots of Jewish people there, and they were hard to talk to. But Paul's attitude was, I'm going to have to become a slave to the Jews in order to win the Jews. And then Paul's attitude towards the Gentiles, that is, those who had not heard the law of God. Well, he knew that he was under Christ's law, but he was going to have to become a slave to the Gentiles to lead them to Christ, to win them for Christ. This was his heart's attitude. I've got to do all things possible. Find any possible way that I can lead people to Christ. What can I do? What can I do? See, when we have that same kind of heart, we're going to be thinking, Jesus, what can I do for the gospel? What can I do to get people saved? What can I do to reach more people? God, I've got to live for you. I've got to serve you. My main verse was verse 16, which says, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's powerful. When I preach the gospel, I can't boast, for I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I think this is the attitude we need to have to come into our lives, because otherwise things will stop us all the time of being a more effective witness for Christ. Oh, God, the people don't want to listen to me. No, it doesn't matter. Woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, I don't know what to say. I don't have the words to speak. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, my testimony is pretty boring. I don't think anyone would get interested in what I have to say. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, I think I'm too young. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, I think I'm getting too old now. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, choose my brother, choose my sister, choose someone else, anyone but me, and definitely don't send me to Africa. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. Oh, God, those Muslim terrorists, I certainly wouldn't want to go to share Jesus to them. No, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. So this was Paul's attitude, that God had spoken into his life and set him on fire for God, that he knew that he had to preach. He had to preach the gospel. He had to preach the word of God. He had to find a way. You know, when there was no open doors for me, what I did in the early 1990s, I started sending tracts and gospel cassette tapes all around the place to overseas countries, because I knew that I couldn't just sit and wait. And through doing that, God opened up many doors, which was my first missions trip to Africa. And it was because I'd been sending the gospel over there through tracts, through cassette tapes, through videos in those days. So I had to do something, because there was a compelling in my heart. What am I going to do for the gospel? You know, these days, you can share the gospel around the world through the internet. You can do all kinds of things. So we've got to use the opportunities that God gives us. Each of us is in a different position. Each of us has a testimony. How are we going to use our testimony? How are we going to get it out? But what we've got to hear Jesus saying to us is, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. That's what God was saying to the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, he could have just lived a nice life. He could have stopped persecuting Christians, which he did. He could have said, Lord, aren't you going to be pleased with that now? I'm not going to throw Christians into prison anymore. I'm not going to go from city to city hunting for Christians and voting that they put to death. No, I'm even going to vote that the Christians don't get put to death now. Oh God, wouldn't you be happy with that? I can still be a Pharisee. I can still be in the synagogue. That would be fine. I'll still have my place of influence. God, won't you be happy for me? I'll make sure that Christians don't get fed to the lions. I'll vote that they don't get put to death. No, that was not enough for the Apostle Paul's life. He had to be a radical preacher. So he couldn't just stay in Jerusalem and stay as a Pharisee in his position. And maybe if he had continued on for the years, he could have become very high. He could have even become the high priest or something. He could have become that high position. But he realized that that high position wasn't the best thing that he needed. God was saying to him, woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. I know that God has different callings for different people. And if God calls you to be a success in the eyes of people, he can use you like Joseph or like Daniel. But the Apostle Paul, he was not to do that. He was to have the burning fire in his heart at once. I've got to be radical. I've got to be out there. I've got to be going. I've got to be moving. And that's why I'm saying we've got to get renewed our passion to save souls. We've got to have the fire of God burning in our hearts. This compelling, it was compelling his heart. I've got to preach about Jesus. I've got to witness for Christ. You know, if we keep that fire burning in our hearts, we will witness for Christ. We won't deny him. It's very easy to have times when you're spiritually fatigued or spiritually weak, and it's like, oh, I can't witness today. And I have many of those times. And then that's the time to pray. It's to seek God. It's say, God, you've got to stir me up again. You've got to fill me with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I've tried to witness at my workplace, and they don't listen to me. My workplace that I was working in many years ago, we were making the frigates in the 1990s, late 1990s, early 2000s. And first of all, what I did is I put Christian stickers on my helmet. So I had these good Christian stickers. So I didn't see any other Christian doing that. I was the only one doing it. And at that place, many of those men, they were putting up porno pictures and things like that. So one time I took it to the head man, and you go to the top, and he got all the porno removed from the site. So anyway, I was filled with fire and passion to witness for Christ, and sometimes would be, because you spend a lot of time working in these compartments, and I'd be sharing to my workmates with fire and zeal, and they just didn't listen. They just didn't change. It just went, my zeal didn't overcome. It just was dampened by their unbelief. So if you let their unbelief dampen you, and you become like them, you'll just be silent. I can't witness anymore. I remember there was this bodybuilder, and he got saved. He became a Christian. And because he was quite big and muscly, initially a lot of people wanted to listen to his testimony. And they heard him speaking. So they heard his testimony, but after a little while, nobody wanted to listen to him. So he lost enthusiasm. He kind of said, well, I tried to share to people and they didn't want to listen. So he gave up. And that's the problem in New Zealand when you're dealing with unbelievers. They can try and make you fall into unbelief and try and make you go to sleep. But it's maintaining the fire of God in your heart in a society of unbelief. Maintaining the fire of God in your heart in a society that's filled with unbelief. And how do you do that? You do it through prayer. You pray, you cry out to God. The Apostle Paul was a mighty man of prayer. So sometimes when I go downtown, I don't feel like witnessing to a single person. I don't want to witness to anyone today. It's been a bit of a hard day. So what do I do? First of all, I pray. Take the time of prayer. God, there's no open doors today because I don't feel like it. So Lord, as you pray, as you pray, as you pray, God can renew you in your spirit. He can build you up in your faith. He can build you up with his fire. And then he can open up doors for you to witness. So yes, we're always going to be facing times when it feels like, oh, Lord, I can't do evangelism. But how do we break through? We have that prayer, that strong prayer, that prayer time. Even a couple of weeks when Michael and I went out, first of all, we had a prayer time because we went down to the waterfront and the bottom of Queen Street. You know, and when I got there, I needed that time of prayer because I didn't feel like witnessing to anyone. But after that time of prayer, God opened up doors for me and I met people. Interestingly enough, one of the first persons I met was a person I'd just seen a few days earlier in Gisborne, been doing the witnessing down there, and then came here and there he was. And it was like God, that was a sign, that was God opening it up. And I didn't feel like witnessing to anyone, but then God just gave that sign. So then got witnessing, and then the next person, next person, next person, it just flowed. And God opened up the door to witness to people. So Romans chapter 12 verse 11, that is what I first verse I gave. And I'm just repeating that verse because we want to lay hold of it. And it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now there's always going to be things that stop us from having zeal and serving God. As an evangelist overseas, go overseas and can preach 5 times a week. Come back to New Zealand as an evangelist and it's hard to get meetings. So what do? You've just got to not lose your zeal. You keep your spiritual fervor. You keep your prayer. You keep your prayer life. I'm believing the day is going to come. I'm going to have crusades with stadiums that are full of people. God, I'm believing that the day is going to come. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to win multitudes to Christ. I'm going to see this place packed out. You know, at the moment today, I see this place full of angels. But there's going to be the time when it's full of people. So we have the fire of God in our hearts, the zeal of God. And we're looking ahead by faith. God's going to move mountains. He's going to move in power because we're zealous for God, because God has transformed our lives. Jesus Christ is real. And even though we live in a nation that is backslidden, God is raising up his prophets. So I want to be radical like Isaiah the prophet. I want to be radical like Ezekiel the prophet. These prophets, I call them too radical for churches. They would come in and they would really speak the word of God in your church. They would shake your church. They would shake your church elders. And they would say, hey, elders, you're not even praying. What's wrong? You've got to repent. Are you church elders or what? So we've got to be bold. We've got to be strong. We've got to be challenging. And that is hard. It's hard when you face opposition. I've shared with a lot of Muslims. And it's hard at times when you face opposition from them. But in some ways, it doesn't matter because you can just move on. The hardest thing is when you face opposition from Christians, because they're your brothers in the Lord. And for me, I've always kind of been a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Hellfire and brimstone preacher. And they are very unpopular today. Many preachers they would never have you preach in their pulpit. A hellfire and brimstone preacher, I'd never have them preaching from my pulpit. Well, unfortunately, would you let Jesus? Look at Jesus' parables. He was always warning about the separation of the righteous from the wicked, the sheep and the goats. And that wasn't just a temporary separation, that was an eternal separation, heaven or hell. So Jesus Christ, he had a fire to warn people. You've got to be saved. You've got to be saved from going to hell. You've got to be on the right path. And the book of Revelation from the Apostle John, it's full of warnings about judgments, earthquakes, and terrible disasters. When I printed my book on the end times, on the end of the world, warning about judgments on New Zealand, the first thing the pastor did was threw my book out of the church. Can't have people think that you are implying that God might judge Christchurch with an earthquake. That might have been because of God, New Zealand's sin. No, we just throw that out. So I see in the Church of New Zealand, there's certain messages that we don't want preached today. But what you've got to see that the Apostle Paul, he was filled with so much zeal that he eventually broke through the barriers. At first, people were afraid of him. The church was afraid of the Apostle Paul because they heard about his bad, sinful past. So they thought, what? We can't have him come and preach. But because of his zeal and his faithfulness to God, eventually people saw, yes, his life has changed. He is a true man of God now. And then they began to invite, let him in, the apostles. But it seems as if the Apostle Paul, he never really had a good relationship with the apostles. The apostles just said, okay, you go to do the Gentiles, leave us to do the Jews. And it's like they never invited him to come and shake Jerusalem. He just went on his own missions trips to Jerusalem. So we don't see Paul being invited by Peter and James to come and preach in Jerusalem. No, he just invited himself and went to Jerusalem on missions trips and shook Jerusalem, shook the temple. And we see that when Paul was arrested, we don't see the church coming and rescuing him or pleading with the Pharisees not to have him arrested and beaten. No, they just left them behind. So Paul even speaks a number of times in 2 Timothy about how all the Christians deserted me. You know, many churches think that if the Apostle Paul came to their church, wow, that would be wonderful. We've got the Apostle Paul now. But what really happens is the church deserted the Apostle Paul. They left him. So what is the key? The key is to be filled with zeal for Jesus Christ. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So no matter what obstacles I'm going to face when I try to share the gospel, I'm not going to let those obstacles stop me from being a witness for Christ. I'm going to rejoice when people persecute me for the name of Jesus, because great is my reward in heaven. So I'm going to see things from God's perspective. So as I said, we live in a society that's full of unbelief, a society that's not wanting to hear the word of God. We've got to realize things like the homosexual issue. I was just watching yesterday how Obama is really pushing it, how he's, you know, he's a preacher of the devil. And he was preaching really on for saying same-sex marriage. You know, this is the biggest man, the most powerful man in the world in some ways, the most influential man in the world. And that influence is just deceiving people, it's blinding people. I was thinking, where are the true prophets in America? And they've been there. They've spoken to him. There have been true prophets who have really spoken to them. And they've been rejected. The true prophets are being rejected today when they try to warn some of these world leaders to repent. So we've got to not be deceived by what's going on around the nations. United Nations has this demonic agenda of liberalizing homosexuality throughout the whole world. That's one of their agendas. So imagine the Apostle Paul facing that. Imagine how the Apostle Paul would preach to the United Nations. Many of these presidents, they've had preachers come and speak to them. But I think sometimes these preachers have been too soft. They've been compromising the word of God. They haven't been powerful prophets like what I see in the Bible. And unfortunately, the church will get too afraid. No, we want to please our politicians. Many of New Zealand's politicians have also claimed to be Christians at times, ones like John Banks. And Lord, they've compromised with homosexuality, and they've sat in churches. They've come to church. I remember one time when I was at church, and this was in Fiji, and the whole sports team that were going to, I forget if it was the Commonwealth Games, the sports team was there. I was thinking, man, this is a great opportunity, because many of these sports athletes all think that they're Christians and claim to be Christians. And there was basically the whole team was there. And then the message that came to them was this most pitiful, man-pleasing message. I was thinking, what an opportunity has been wasted. You've got to get these influential people. Some of them are going to become famous. Some of them are going to win medals. Some of them are going to do great things in the eyes of the world, but it's going to be rubbish. And they didn't have a true prophetic voice. The prophet was willing to stand against the sin of the nation, rebuke them instead of giving them a man-pleasing message. Okay, basically my time is up, but I just want to fill you with fire, fill you with the zeal of God, zeal to preach. Finishing with my main verse, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, which we've already looked at, but I want to repeat it. When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And I just think of all the Old Testament prophets that had to rebuke Israel for their sin. These prophets that had to stand against the tide of compromise that was going on in the nation. And they didn't want to die. They didn't want to be persecuted. But why did they do it? It's because God was compelling them. The Holy Spirit was upon them. The fire of God was burning in their heart. And even if I die, I'm going to preach. Even if I'm stoned to death, I'm going to preach. Even if I'm rejected by the nation, even if I'm rejected by the church leaders, by the synagogue, by the Pharisees, Sadducees, whoever, even if I'm rejected by the king, I'm going to preach. And they began preaching and warning the nation, calling people to repent. Get serious for God. Get your life cleaned up. Come on, we've got to not have compromise in the church. We've got to set the church on fire in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, just to put the zeal of God into our hearts. Renew the zeal for saving souls. Renew the passion in our hearts that we've got to stand against sin. We've got to stand against compromise. The world is in the grip of the devil, but we are going to follow the living God. So Lord, put your mighty hand upon us today. Fill us with this fire in our hearts. Not just excitement or emotion, but Lord, the reality of your word. The reality of being a prophet of God. The reality of being an evangelist, a pastor, a church leader. The seriousness of when God arises to judge us for what we've done with our lives. That we cannot compromise the word of God. We can be bold and strong in declaring our God is a holy, righteous God. New Zealand, repent in Jesus' name. We call this nation to be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.